We had one tree in our backyard at Irvington near Riley High School at that time. One old, crooked maple, about 35 feet high. And one blast of that Pentecost wind blew down the maple. That sturdy, grounded tree came down. Pentecost. That night, not only could we hear the power of the wind, but we saw the evidence of the power of the wind filling our backyard, making something that hadn't been there before. Now, of course, we were amused. I was amused that this happened on Pentecost. It was as if the wind itself was honoring, celebrating God's power at Pentecost. It was as if the very wind itself was celebrating Pentecost. Does that happen? It was as if the very wind itself was celebrating God's power and movement. What about you? I wonder if there's any time when you can remember worshiping or honoring God with the wind. When it's warm enough to have the windows open, last night it was not, I like to lie in bed, and especially on windy nights, I like to listen to the wind, the power of the wind. Wow, everybody seems to be sleeping, but there is something lively going on out there. There are trees moving and branches moving and leaves rustling, and it's the sound of mighty movement, strong and beyond any human control. And just like when I look at the stars in a sky, sometimes when I lie in the darkness and listen to the wind, I get that same sense of my smallness as a human being. What a small part of creation I am, and I have a sense of the vastness of God's creation. Sometimes in storms or during tornado warnings, I am afraid of the wind. I am afraid of what the wind might do. And again, I remember the limits and weaknesses of me as a human being. And I am aware in a different way of God's vast power. One time, our family visited the Canyonlands National Park in Utah. This vast, rocky landscape, amazing. And as we walked along the rim and looked, Dave encouraged us all to be quiet for a period of time and just listen to see what we could hear. And it was such an amazing experience. And what was I aware of? I was aware of the atmosphere. I was aware of the stillness, the heat, the air hugging all of creation, hugging, going in every nook and cranny of this rocky landscape. I had a sense of the atmosphere hugging the earth, no escaping the reach of this atmosphere. And this too is part of God's creation, the mystery of creation that speaks to us of God, the mystery of creation that is itself praising God. I wonder if any of you have a story like that, of a time you remember when the atmosphere itself taught you something about God or helped you worship God. Does anything come to mind? The Aurora Borealis, this amazing light show in our atmosphere beyond our control. Well, think about that. I wonder if there are times you can remember where in some way, the atmosphere, this thing we don't usually think about or see, helps us to worship. As Janie and Lane have said, the next four Sundays we celebrate the season of creation. In the early 2000s, Christians in the Uniting Church in Australia developed worship resources to help us worship the Creator along with creation. And there were so many biblical themes that came to their mind. And they thought, how can we get out of our human-centeredness to read the Bible in a way that tells us that all of creation is worshiping God? And this idea spread around the world and to U.S. churches as well. And so for four Sundays this year, we will read and ponder and celebrate passages from the Bible that can speak to us in a new way, maybe a way we're not used to hearing. Passages that can speak to us of all of creation praising God. In this, I think we follow the lead of the writers of the Psalms, who continually encourage us to praise God together with all of creation, to praise God along with the forests and the seas and the sea monsters and the mountains and the rivers and the winds and the storms. The psalmists have the idea of all of creation praising God in their own way. And yet, when we worship, when we read the Bible, it is quite natural for us to put human beings at the center of God's creation, focusing only on our relationship with God. And if you want to read the creation story with new eyes, try to read it without human beings being the greatest thing God ever did, because that's usually where we start. So, this is one way we want to reorient our reading of the Bible. You know, in addition, we are living in a time when we have become more and more aware of the crises in creation, of the crises we have created in spoiling and abusing God's creation. We are aware that God's very creation is in crisis because, largely because of human greed, exploitation, neglect, and thoughtlessness. And we can hear in a new way that Romans passage about the groaning of all creation. Maybe we understand the groaning of all creation more completely than generations before us. The groaning of all creation because of human and non-human crimes against creation. And we get the sense, yes, the whole creation is groaning and longing alongside us humans to be renewed and restored and healed and recreated. So this is one way to reorient ourselves as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ was active as the Word at the beginning of creation, in the very beginning. And we believe that this Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh to live on earth, to dwell with us. We believe that Jesus Christ was a very specific human being born into a specific time and place. But we also believe that by being born on earth, Jesus is an earthling. Jesus belongs fully to the earth, that in some way we don't fully understand, God became part of Earth's biology. Rather than seeing Jesus as solely a spiritual being, detached from creation, no, our Christian story is that God came to Earth to dwell fully in creation. And the good news of Jesus Christ is for human beings, and it is for all of creation. The healing of God's power is not aimed only at human beings, but at all of creation. Christ came to bring good news and healing to all of creation. And we have some sense that Christ the healer has the power not only to heal us as human beings, but to forgive our sins against one another and our sins against creation, and to heal creation itself. Now, to me, this is a different way of thinking. To me, this is a new way of thinking about what it means for God to love the world and send Jesus to heal the world, to save the world. Well, today, as we've heard, is Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate God's Spirit moving in a mighty wind and in fire on a small gathering of Jesus' followers that by the end of the day becomes a large group of over 3,000 people. So this is the day when we celebrate the moving of God's Spirit in a powerful way. It's the same Spirit that we hear about in the Pentecost story in Acts. Okay, got that? Pentecost, Acts, creation, just checking. Okay, it's the same Spirit that we hear in the Acts story in Pentecost that is moving at the very beginning of the Bible story that we have about creation. It's that same Spirit. In Genesis 1, the Bible starts these two verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void or empty, and darkness was hovering over the spirit of the deep, the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Those two first verses in our Bible, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And what is the Spirit of God? In each of our biblical languages, Hebrew of the Old Testament, Greek of the New Testament, each language has only one word that does service for spirit, for breath, for wind, for atmosphere. One word in each of these languages. We think, well, how does that work? Well, maybe it works pretty well. So when we read about the Spirit of God hovering over the formless and void at the beginning, we hear the Spirit of God, the wind, the breath. It's the same thing. Later in the creation story, the story we heard this morning, God forms a human being from the dust of the ground. And God gives this being a name that means ground or dust, Adam. But what is it that makes this clump of dust more than a clump of dust? It's breath, it's wind, it's spirit. It's God breathes God's Spirit into this ground dust being. And it's the breath of life. And it makes him a human being. And we hear the rest of creation story. God breathes, blows the Spirit into the rest of creation. And it's that spark that makes the living creatures live. So there's something about those Hebrew people that understood that the very air around them, the very air around us, is the breath of God. The very atmosphere surrounding us, they understood, was filled with God's breath, God's Spirit, the wind, God's presence. Now, when I try to think in that Hebrew way of thinking, which is not the way I usually think, I have a new sense of wonder. The atmosphere, the very earth, atmosphere around the earth, the very air you and I breathe, think of it. We are surrounded, covered, encompassed. I mean, it's everywhere, this breath of God that I thought was just the atmosphere. The whole earth is cradled in the atmosphere of God's breath. God is as close as our breath, and God is in our very breathing. All of creation is cradled in the breath, the presence, the air, the wind, the Spirit of God. Every breath, every breathe, breathes the very breath of God. That's a new way of thinking. Now, that also has some difficult consequences for me, too, because then when I think of the air, the atmosphere that we humans have filled with pollutants or toxins or fumes, we are polluting, upsetting the very breath of God. I don't like the way that sounds. No wonder the Spirit is groaning in empathy with a suffering creation. My goodness, God feels that suffering. This is God's very breath. No wonder Christ is wanting to make all things new. And then we have the story of Pentecost. This small band of Jesus' followers were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the house where they were sitting. It's like creation time again. The Spirit, the wind, the breath of God hovering over this group, hovering in the chaos of those post-resurrection days, and God's breath, wind, blowing, coming to them, bringing them to life in a new way, bringing their life, their faith to life, bringing their strength to life, bringing their power to life. They are moved. And God's Spirit came upon them in a dramatic way, and they were able to tell the gospel story in a way that people around them could hear and understand. And the people around them could hear and understand about God's love. And they could hear the story of Jesus. And Peter got up and told the crowd about Jesus' teaching and his miracles and his signs, about Jesus speaking truth to power, about that leading to Jesus' death. And then on the third day, God raised him. And now Jesus was available to heal them. Jesus was sending the Spirit. Jesus was enlivening them. Jesus would not leave them alone. Jesus was saying, the very power and breath of God come to earth is here with us. And about 3,000 took that message to heart and were baptized and joined the community of believers. We are descendants of all those believers on that day. They started an adventure that carries through today. When Dave and I were in Israel-Palestine last November, one of the astounding ways I felt connected to the story of Jesus while I was there was through the Palestinian Christians we met. And one of our Palestinian guides introduced himself to our group by saying, "Well, my family became Christians at Pentecost." And those of us from the U.S. were, "What? My family became Christians at Pentecost." We said, "You mean the Pentecost?" "Yes." And so generation to generation, family member to family member, this was the story carried. Our people were part of that outpouring of God's breath, wind, Spirit at Pentecost. That was amazing to me. But then I realized, yes, that is how the Christian story is spread and shared by the power of that wind, breath, Spirit. It helped me realize that the Christian story is told, shared, person to person, carried by the breath of the wind, one believer to another, and we are linked to this great outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost. That is, we are breathing the same Spirit air that they did, that those first believers did. And so when we celebrate Pentecost, what does it say to us? This same Spirit that has been moving, hovering, creating since the beginning of all creation, this is the Spirit that blows on us. This is God's wind, God's breath, God's life-giving presence with us always. The same wind that brooded over the chaos in creation of the world, who brooded over the chaos of that early church, continues to brood and hover over us in our chaos, in our sin, in our need of healing, in this time of climate change and destruction. The same Spirit working to make all things new. And guess what? It's as close as our breath. It's in the air we breathe. This power is so accessible to us. And yet are we blind to it so many times? This spirit power is all around us, accessible. This same spirit that changed the lives of the 3,000, that snowballed into life after life after life being changed. This same spirit whose purpose is healing is still at work among us. Holy Spirit, come with power.